question from Keshav Prabhu. Is Krishna consciousness limited knowledge? When we speak to people who are well versed in Sanskrit and Vedas, they say search for God. In reply, if I say Krishna is saying I am God, why should I need to search for God? They give huge analysis of this and that. After listening to them, I find myself in a well who thinks I am in an ocean. These people are very good orators, whole world runs after them, they also have huge organizations worldwide. How should I convince myself? The knowledge of modern thinkers like Vivekananda, Aurobindo, Shivananda, Chinmayananda, Paramahamsa Yogananda, etc. cannot be ignored at all in respect to their concept and analysis. Isn't Krishna consciousness like a group of people who do not want to learn all, but are limited to scriptures, limited to analysis, limited to flow of thoughts? What is your take on this? Answer: all education happens by limitation. If the parents at home start teaching their children everything, the students will become so overwhelmed that they will not learn anything. Even the whole process of official schooling is a process of limiting the knowledge that the students are expected to learn in their schools. The very fact that certain things go into a syllabus and certain things don't go into a syllabus indicate that there is a certain amount of limitation. And if all the information that was there to be learned were included, attempted to be taught in school, neither the teachers would be able to teach it, nor the students would be able to grasp it. So essentially, the process of education can happen only when there is some kind of delimiting standard. Now, why should this, which is a universal fact at home, at school, in college, not apply to spirituality? So, when Srila Prabhupada was once asked in America by one hippie, he said, Swamiji, your philosophy sounds like the philosophy of Buddha. So Prabhupada immediately asked him, do you follow Buddha? He said, no, Swamiji. Prabhupada said, follow Buddha, follow Jesus, follow Krishna, follow someone, don't just talk. So the essential principle over here is that we have to follow a spiritual path by which we can learn. And just like when we go to a doctor, and if we don't take the treatment of the doctor, we can go to 100 doctors and we'll never get cured. And every doctor that we go to, we think, hey, your diagnosis is like this and that doctor's diagnosis is like that, and there was this was similar and that was different, and we can just be perpetually shopping for doctors and stay perpetually sick. So Krishna at the end of the Bhagavad Gita tells Arjuna, Yathech Siddha Kuru, as you desire, so you do. So he has given himself, he has given the analysis, and that's why before this he says, Vimrishaita Dasheshena, that deliberate deeply on this message and then decide what you want to do and do accordingly. So same way, it is for us to decide what we want in life. If we want to become like spiritual shoppers, then we can keep shopping for the rest of eternity. If we want to become spiritual seekers and not shoppers, then we have to commit ourselves to a particular path. Committing ourselves to a particular path is like taking a particular stream of knowledge for study within education. If a student decides to study, say, science, then decides to study physics, or comes to engineering and decides to study computer engineering, you know, every level of focus involves limiting the scope, but by limiting, one can go deeper and learn more within that field. So, if we want to move from spiritual shoppers, by spiritual shopping, we might just learn a few good things here and a few things over there, and we will never come to any conclusion nor when we really experience any transformation. It's like a patient shopping from various doctors and trying to take a little here from a little from there. For mild treatment, for mild diseases, that might not be a problem. But if there is a serious disease and it requires serious treatment, then one needs a serious commitment to one particular doctor to actually have a realistic chance to be cured. So material existence with the repetitional cycle of birth and death is a serious problem. And that's why we need serious commitment. So till now, the point which I made is that education requires a limitation of the scope of study, and treatment requires a focus on one particular doctor and one particular treatment. So limitation is a human necessity and we can't avoid it. Now as far as being in a well and thinking oneself to be in an ocean is concerned, the Vedic scriptures themselves have a very deep and multi-level message according to different people's level of consciousness. So within the Vedic school itself, there are six systems of philosophy, and these six systems of philosophy are progressively taking one towards Krishna. So Vedaischa Sarvairaham Vedya, that's what Krishna gives as a conclusion. But even in the Vedic times, the very fact that Krishna has to make a statement like this explicitly indicates that there are many people who thought that that is not the conclusion. So there were people in the Vedic times also, and there are people now who think that the Vedas have different conclusions. And Krishna talks about those people as Vedavadartha Partha, that they are attached to specific sections of the Vedas and do not know its conclusions. So therefore, if we wish to actually understand what is the right path, then we have to firstly accept in principle that there is going to be limitation. Now if you want to study all the spiritual teachers that are there today, a whole lifetime will not be enough. And several lifetimes will also not be enough, because whichever lifetime we take, at that time there will be a generation of spiritual teachers at that time. So we can go on lifetime after lifetime like this. So we have to in principle accept that there is going to be a limitation. And by that limitation comes focus. And the focus is not just intellectual, but the focus also has to be transformational. As engineering study involves an intellectual focus, a medical treatment involves a transformational focus. And only then by that some transformation will happen and we will realize. So if we happen to have gone to a wrong doctor, after some treatment we will realize that the doctor is wrong, and then we will change over. We can reject the doctor and go to some other doctor. But without committing, there is no question of realizing it. So as far as the concept and analysis of various spiritual leaders is concerned, it is not at all the claim of the Krishna consciousness movement that it has monopoly over intelligence or logic or analysis or concepts. There are many intelligent people in the world, and there are many intelligent people even within the spiritual field, and they may have given certain analysis, and that may also have some valuable or even profound insights within it. Now, Srila Prabhupada also quotes Swami Vivekananda appreciatively in one place at least, where he says that when he went to England and he went to England and America, and at that time some people asked him, why did you come earlier? He says, because you people were monkeys earlier. So that's why I couldn't come earlier. So the idea was that Prabhupada was critiquing the theory of evolution, and he was quoting Swami Vivekananda for that. So the point which I am making over here is that it's not that everything that all other spiritual leaders have said is wrong. The important point is, if we want to get the proper spiritual understanding, we have to commit ourselves. So If you want to understand how all the various schools of thought progressively lead to the conclusion of Krishna consciousness, there are many books which deal with that. There is the Govinda Bhashya, which is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra by Baldev Vidyabhushan. There are the Shatsandarvas by Jiva Goswami. And we can study those books. We have to understand one thing very clearly, that spiritual shopping can go on forever. So now, just the fact that there are big organizations and certainly whole world runs after them is an exaggeration. The whole world doesn't run after anyone. Whoever is a famous spiritual leader, they may be there for a few years, few decades, at the most few centuries. And even then it is only a small part of the world as compared to the whole world. So yes, there are individuals who have intelligence and charisma, and they present certain teachings and they attract people. So just as it can happen that people can run after musicians, the popularity of say Michael Jackson was unparalleled, as is the popularity of Bollywood stars or cricket stars. So just the popularity of a particular person is not necessarily indicative of that person's spiritual status, nor is it indicative of the content of the teaching that this person is giving. So we shouldn't let ourselves be misled just by the popularity of a particular school of thought or a particular teacher. And as far as learning Sanskrit and learning Vedas is concerned, yes, as I said, there were different systems, six systems of philosophy were there. And how all these six systems of philosophy progressively lead to devotional service, that is described in the Vedanta Sutra, that is described also by Suhotra Maharaj in his book on six systems of philosophy. So we shouldn't imagine that these sort of questions which different people have don't have answers. There, the Vaishnava tradition, the tradition of Krishna Bhakti and Vishnu Bhakti, has not survived for thousands of years by staying within a small well. The Vaishnava Acharyas have confronted, debated and defeated various conceptions that have been there throughout history, for hundreds and hundreds of years, for thousands of years, and that can be done generation after generation. So actually, when we are just getting introduced to spiritual life, at that time when we are new, we can get impressed by the oratory and the knowledge of anyone, provided that person has the oratorial and the intellectual skills to do that. So we shouldn't imagine that within Krishna consciousness the answers are not there, but one has to have the commitment to study and then one will get the answers. If one wants to do shopping, try that out. A simple thing you can try is try to take one theory within science, something which is as rock solid as Newtonian physics. And if one starts doing shopping, one will find that that there are so many problems with the Newtonian theory. And if one decides that because the Newtonian classical Newtonian physics has problems, I will not study that, then one will not even be able to go through secondary education. So those problems which are there in Newtonian physics, they are understood and reconciled or resolved or dealt with in whatever way is appropriate when one comes to advanced level of the study of physics. So if one just reads something here and there and find that okay, Newtonian physics has problems, therefore I cannot use it, then one doesn't study, one will get no education over there. So yes, certainly Newtonian physics is it's like a foundation of physics, and then it can be understood later through quantum physics. The same principles can be understood later through relativity physics, Einsteinian physics. But the point is that every branch of knowledge, if we start studying it haphazardly, then we will never get any clear understanding. Like, for example, we have in the study of grammar, there is a rule that if we are having a list of three items, you have to put and at the end. But then, if you go and study the work of masters, there is a whole figure of speech called asyndeton, where one avoids the and that is considered a ornament of speech. It's considered beautiful. Get, set, go. So we don't say get, set, and go. So the point here is that if we start messing up with the normal system of education and start getting knowledge from here and there, we cannot get knowledge in any field, whether it be language or whether it be physics or any other field. Even if that body of knowledge is rock solid, still there will be challenges to that body of knowledge, and that challenges need to be addressed at the right level. So if one is not convinced that the path of Krishna, certainly it is not possible that at our level we can be convinced that Krishna consciousness is the best way. Conviction grows gradually by practice, realization, and transformation. So what, you know, it's not that when we go for a treatment, we go to all the thousands of doctors that are there in the world offering the thousands of treatments, and then only when we find the right best doctor, then we start taking treatment. We certainly use our intelligence to understand which is the good doctor, and then we start taking the treatment. So if the doctor's treatment makes sense, and then if it works, if it cures us, then we start taking the treatment of the doctor. You can hear the lecture on Tap the Power of Faith to understand this principle of reasonable faith, which is sensible and verifiable. So like that, if we are in a house on fire, which is the best window to get out of the house? Whichever one is the closest. So if one is connected with the Krishna consciousness movement now, and one is understanding the philosophy and practicing it, that's the way to get out of it. And once we get out, then we can analyze, okay, did that window also, was it also taking me out of that house? Or was that window taking me to an area where I would get deeper into the house? Or was that window taking me to a dead end? So later on we can analyze that. So as we advance in Krishna consciousness, then we develop our realization, our maturity, and then we can understand other schools of thought, how they are right and where they are wrong, where they are indeficient. But if we don't start our study, then we will never learn anything. And starting our study means limiting our study. Just as a starting student doesn't study the problems with classical physics, starts with study of basic classical physics, Newtonian physics, and then gradually then when one goes further, one studies the deeper concepts of quantum physics or relativity physics. So it's not a question of being not wanting to learn all, but it's a question of recognizing that learning has to happen in a structured way that involves some level of limitation and some level of commitment. Without that, we cannot learn any subject. And the same applies to spirituality also. Thank you.